السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والشمس وضحاها، والقمر إذا تلاها، والنهار إذا جلاها، والليل إذا يغشاها، والسماء وما بناها، والأرض وما طحاها، ونفس وما سواها، فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها، وقد خاب من دساها. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. As you're all aware, today marks the beginning or the arrival of the spring equinox, which is for many around the world, it signifies the new solar year. And all across the globe, different communities, nations, groups are celebrating this day as a day of new year. We know in the Persian calendar, this day is known as the Nowruz, which means the new day. And as such, many are celebrating the arrival of the solar new year. I'd like to extend my warmest congratulations to all those who are celebrating this new year. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to make this a time of safety, a time of health, prosperity, faith, righteousness, and success for all, inshallah. Success is a tough word. It's something that haunts us, most of us, or all of us, in our day-to-day lives. It's something that we grapple with regarding various aspects of our life. We'd like, as individuals, to be successful in our interpersonal relationships, our relationships with our parents, our spouses, our siblings, our friends, our co-workers. We'd like to be successful in our aims and goals and objectives in life, whether it is in regards to our education, or in regards to getting a good job, or in regards to any other endeavor that we have in life. It's something that we all grapple with. Everyone struggles in order to achieve success. And we know that success is not just a theoretical concept. It's not something that is just floating around that can easily be obtained. But it is in fact a concept that is anchored in the tangible. It's something that can be acquired through hard work and through diligence. In Arabic, especially in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the concept of success, the Arabic word for success in the Quran is falah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Those, the believers, are successful. Falah. And this, there is another word in Arabic which is closely linked to this word, falah. And that is what? Fallah. Fallah is what? Fallah is a person who harvests, or a person who farms. In other words, a farmer. In Arabic, the term fallah refers to a farmer. And so these farmers, they understand the reason why they are called fallah is because they understand that success is not something easy to acquire. It requires due diligence and hard work. For this farmer to grow decent crops, crops that yield good produce, he or she has to work very hard. They have to spend countless hours, a lot of time and effort, physical energy and patience into harvesting, into planting their fields, into farming their fields, so that they become successful in the end. And this, the concept of the farmer, is relevant to our discussion, especially now, because now we celebrate the coming of spring. And spring is a time of what? It's a season of renewal. It's a season of birth. We look around in those regions, of course, we know that not everywhere in the world right now is experiencing spring. For some, this is the beginning of what? This is the beginning of the fall and winter. But for the countries in the northern hemisphere, many, the vast majority of the countries, which are in the northern hemisphere, we will notice that during this season, during the season of spring, this time, that the vegetation, the plants, the flowers, they begin to blossom, they begin to bloom. That new life occurs, that nature begins to yield new life. It's a season of renewal. This is the significance behind the season of spring. And so the discussion regarding a farmer is quite relevant. We need to look at our lives as we begin this new season. We need to look at our lives and perhaps consider it through this lens, the lens of being farmers, the lens of those who have to renew their lives, renew all situations within their life. It's a season of renewal. And this can occur and begin with a spiritual and mindful accountability. It's a spiritual and mindful renewal. And it's based on a struggle for a spiritual accountability, a spiritual inventory. Now, when we talk about accountability, when we talk about inventory, when we talk about a self-audit, to audit oneself, some people, they become nervous. The word audit is not a favorite word in many people's dictionaries. Why? Because when we think audit, the first thing that comes to mind is what? Is the IRS. And it's close to tax season. So if any of you haven't filed your taxes yet, make sure you do so before the deadline. Because when we hear the word audit, it signifies what? It signifies inspection. It signifies investigation. And usually those terms are related to when a person is in trouble. When there's a crime scene, when something has happened, there's an investigation. There's a search. In the case of the missing Malaysia Airlines plane, the search and the investigation continues. They're looking for evidence. They're looking for something because something has gone wrong. And so in many cases, this makes, when we talk about accountability and a spiritual inventory, it makes people nervous. They don't want to talk about this. Because in many cases, we're afraid of finding out something bad. We're afraid that when we audit ourselves, when we hold ourselves accountable, we will realize that not everything is great. There will be some issues. There will be some problems. It's very much like coming up with an annual budget. Usually, when we begin to work, especially at a younger age, many youth who begin to work in their teens and later on, in the beginning, most of them are not taught to create a budget. In fact, many studies have shown that a lot of young people, especially those who are in college, who are studying undergraduate, a lot of them are in a lot of financial debt. They're struggling. And many times it's because they have not created a budget for themselves. But as we learn, we notice that in order for us to be successful and not to get in trouble and to succeed, we have to create and we have to make a budget for ourselves. We have to go and figure out how much are my expenses, what do I have to spend, my house payments, my car payment, food, bills, credit card payments, all of these things, and my income, how much am I making? But a lot of people, they're not comfortable with this. Why? Because they're afraid that they'll notice certain discrepancies. They'll notice that they might have overspent, that they might have been a little, you know, lucid when it comes to going, you know, out shopping and spending and buying things that are not necessary, that they're overspending. And so a lot of people, they're not comfortable with creating a budget. They're not comfortable with going because they don't want to find discrepancies. They don't want to find fault. But we know that accountability is something very important. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Hold yourselves accountable, engage in self-accountability, قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا, before you are held accountable by God. وَزِنُوهَا قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنُوا, and weigh yourselves. Take spiritual inventory before spiritual inventory will be taken over you or of you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our second Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hasan alayhi salam, he says in the hadith that those who have the easiest time in the hereafter are those whom what? Are those who are keen when it comes to self-accountability. Who've already held themselves accountable. They already know where they are, where they stand. They already know their inventory, what they've done, how far they've come, what they need to do. And so, although in many cases we feel uncomfortable holding ourselves accountable, we know that there are great fruits in doing so. There are great benefits. Because we can clearly evaluate where we are and where we stand. And if we ask any successful individual, any successful individual, any successful corporation or company, if we ask them, one of the major reasons why such individuals are successful in their lives and such corporations and companies are successful is because they hold themselves accountable. It's because they evaluate where they are in life. It's very fruitful. There's an old saying, it's mentioned in Shakespeare's Hamlet, one of the participants or one of the actors in Shakespeare's Hamlet, he says that the best thing, I don't recall the exact saying in the old English, but he says that one of the most important things is to be true to yourself. In many cases, you know, we can be deceitful. And many people are. Many people are very good at deceiving others. He or she may not want to go to a certain event, right? They don't want to go to someone's house or a certain event or a wedding or what have you. And they'll make up excuses. I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be sick with the flu in 2 weeks. Right? They may deceive students, perhaps, you know, they're procrastinating, they're being a little lazy, and so they tell their teacher, you know, the old excuse, my dog ate my homework. Of course, nowadays dogs don't eat homework because everything is typed, so it's not very easy to suggest that my dog ate, you know, my laptop. But people do, and sometimes people are deceived. I remember a while back in one of my classes that I was taking, the professor was describing the midterm exam that we have to, the midterm paper that we have to write and submit. And so he said, you know, if you need an extension for the deadline, let me know beforehand. Let me know. And if you decide to, you know, kill your grandmother, you know, suggest that, you know, my grandmother died, which is another excuse. He says, remember that you only have two grandmothers, so make sure you don't use that excuse more than twice. In many cases, there's a lot of things that we can do where we deceive others, but we cannot engage in self-deceit. We might be able to deceive others, but we can't deceive ourselves. We know where we are. We know where we stand. We know our true worth and our true self. And so it's important for us, and this is the basis of accountability, to evaluate, to give us a clear evaluation of where we stand so that we can be true to ourselves in every aspect of our life. To perform self-accountability or engage in self-accountability is not something easy. However, there are some steps that we can perform that would help us in doing so. One, brothers and sisters, pertains to the issue of responsibility. And that means that we have to realize that every success and every failure that we face in this life and in the hereafter is determined by you. First and foremost, it's determined by you. Yes, there are external factors. Some people, they're responsible, right? They're very responsible. For example, you know, he or she works very hard to create a company and so on and so forth. But for external reasons, external factors, the economy is bad, they end up losing, they end up going into bankruptcy. Yes, there are external factors. Or for instance, the person is very diligent, right, and careful when he or she is driving. They make sure they're always checking their mirrors, they make sure they're signaling, they make sure they don't speed, you know. But there could be someone out there who doesn't drive as carefully, and as a result you may get into an accident even if you're a very safe driver. But first and foremost, our successes and failures in this life and in the hereafter depend on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shams, the verses that I began with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who purifies himself, his soul, his spirit, his mind, is what? Is what? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, is successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one who neglects it, and the one who does not care about his or her soul, what happens is at loss. That person himself or herself loses. Allah in another verse says, مَنْ اِحْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَحْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. The person who is guided to the right path or who follows the right path benefits whom? Benefits themselves. مَنْ اِحْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَحْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And the person who goes astray also does not harm anyone except him or herself. And then Allah says, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. We're not held accountable for the faults of other people. Sometimes, individuals, they may make excuses, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, you are not held accountable for another person's faults. You're held accountable for yourself, what you do yourself. And thus, it's important that we understand the significance of responsibility, self or personal responsibility. And not just to have responsibility for the good things in our life, but also to realize that we are responsible even for the bad things in life. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. It's a very simple law. Allah says, if you do even the smallest amount of good, you'll see it. You'll get the results. You'll reap the results. And if you do evil, you'll also reap the results. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. So this is number one. Number two is the issue of self-empowerment. Most of our failures and problems are a result of what? Are a result of our weaknesses. The human being, no matter how great he or she gets, They can become so great. They can have the best job. They can make the most money. They can have the most beautiful home. They can be famous. They can have, you know, the most followers. But in the end, the human being is a very weak being, is a very weak creature. Most of our failures are a result of our weakness. And it's important for us, whether it comes to our time management, whether it comes to choosing those who we associate with or disassociate with, whether it comes to our desires, innate desires, it's important for us to learn a very important word, and that is what? No. N-O. No. Because this word is very self-empowering. In many cases, this is the word that we need to think about and the word that we need to observe and utter over and over again. To say no. If my carnal and lower desires is pushing me and pushing me and pushing me in a certain direction, say no. If my friends, for instance, I have, you know, exams, I have papers, I have work to do, I have other things, and my friends or family members are trying to discourage me, push me away, take me to see a movie, you know, go out, do this or that, say no. It's the most self-empowering word. And this is the essence of taqwa. We know that our religion emphasizes on this concept of taqwa. Taqwa is a state of mind, it's a state of being where you are in full control, where you are able to control your desires and say no. And so it's important for us to keep this in mind. Self-empowerment when we hold ourselves accountable. And third, finally, is personal accountability. And that means that we address our roots and we address the roots of our problems and failures. And this, brothers and sisters, in many cases has to do with seeking repentance, with tawbah, with asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Repentance is that which allows us to clear away the roots of evil, to turn away from the roots of evil, to clear the path for strengthening our relationship with Allah, for us to clear the path towards success. And this is very important. Many people, they underestimate the power of repentance. Or they do not understand, they misunderstand the significance of repentance or the significance of sinning. And as a result, some people say, well, say it. It's easier said than done. It's easy to say, hey, let's hold ourselves accountable. It's easy to say, hey, let's seek forgiveness and repentance. But it's easier than to do. It's more difficult to do so. And this is a result of our misunderstanding of what of the consequences and the significance of repentance, or the consequences and the significance of sinning. Some people, when they commit a mistake, they feel an overwhelming and profound sense of guilt and remorse. It takes over completely. It takes over. They feel so regretful that this induces what? It induces a state of despair. They'll say, well, you know what? I've done so much bad. I've done so many great things, so many terrible things, that how am I supposed to face God? How am I supposed to seek forgiveness and say, oh my Lord, forgive me. I've done this and that and this and this and this. And so some people are pushed towards the state of despair. And brothers and sisters, this is one of Satan's greatest tricks. Greatest tricks. To give a person a major guilt trip to the point where they're not even ready to turn back anymore. They believe that they've reached a state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them. And this is Satan's major trick, and we have to be able to avoid this. A man one day, he came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he told him, Ya Rasulallah, I've done so many terrible things. I've committed great sins. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he encouraged him. He told him, seek forgiveness. The man told him, but Ya Rasulallah, you don't understand. The things that I've done, I'm so embarrassed. I can't even say them in front of you. I can't even mention the deeds that I've done in front of you. The Prophet, peace be upon him, again, he encouraged him. He told him, seek forgiveness. Seek repentance from Allah. Return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man insisted. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, he told him, oh man, let me ask you a question. Is your sin greater or is the mercy of Allah greater? Very simple question. Very simple question. The man said, of course, the mercy of Allah encompasses everything. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. And it's important for us not to despair in this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we recite in the dua, Allahumma inna maghfirataka arja min amali, wa inna rahmataka awsa'u min dhanbi. O my Lord, your mercy, your forgiveness is greater than my actions. Yes, I might have done this, A, B, C, D, I might have done all of these bad things, but my Lord, your forgiveness and your mercy is greater than all of these. And then we say, Allahumma in kana dhanbi indaka azima, fa'afwuka a'zamu min dhanbi. O my Lord, if my sin, if my misdeed and my act, if it is great in your eyes, fa'afwuka a'zamu min dhanbi. Your forgiveness is still greater than my act. Allahumma in lam akun ahlan an ablugha rahmatak. O my Lord, if I am not worthy of receiving or reaching your mercy, then what? فَرَحْمَتُكَ أَحْلٌ أَن تَبْلُغَنِي وَتَسَعَنِي لِأَنَّهَا وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. If I'm not worthy of reaching your mercy is worthy and suitable of reaching me. Why? Because it encompasses everything. Allah says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And my mercy encompasses everything. And number two, and finally, brothers and sisters, is that sometimes some of the sins that we perform, in fact, they act as a catalyst to push us towards forgiveness, to push us towards regret and remorse and sincerity. It's said that many years ago, that a scholar, once he told his students, he told them, he said, my students, it may be that you commit a sin and because of this specific sin that you commit, that you enter heaven. The students, they were shocked. Told him, you know, what are you talking about? So if we sin, if we commit a specific sin, God forbid, because of the sin, we can be granted heaven. He told them, let me explain. He said, sometimes, especially when it comes to a person who has belief and iman in their hearts, sometimes when they commit a sin and then they realize that they have committed this sin and they think about it, they encounter such a great state of remorse and regret that every time they remember this sin, they become regretful, they become remorseful, and they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincerity. And they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. And as a result, they become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result of this sin. Of course, this is not to condone or encourage sins. But sometimes, and this is because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah has given us a conscience. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an internal system that allows us to what? To be remorseful and regretful. The ahadith, they tell us that the biggest difference between a true believer and a disbeliever, a non-believer, is what? Is that the believer, when he or she sins, not that one sins and the other doesn't. No, many of us sin. Regardless of the labels that we have for ourselves, many engage in sins and misdeeds. Not that one sins and the other doesn't, but that if the believer sins, he or she has a sense of regret and remorse, while the unbeliever, it's like a piece of cake. It's second nature. They don't think about it twice. They've done it and that's it. And they're ready to do it again and again. The believer, the true believer, is the one who feels remorse and regret, who realizes what he or she did was wrong, and as a result, seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and makes a vow never to return to this sin again. The door of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always open, my dear brothers and sisters. I've said this in many sermons and many lectures and many discussions, that even the most important, even the most important organizations and authorities, even the police, for instance, or the hospital, the ambulance, the paramedics, or the fire department, even sometimes when you call upon them for help, they might delay. There might be traffic, there might be issues, they might, you know, just ignore the call for help. Even the best companies, they have to break. They have a certain break. They close their doors. The best offices, the most important people, sometimes they're not reachable at certain moments. Even our parents and our spouses, right? Can it work for you to wake your spouse up every night at 3 or 4, for instance, to make you a sandwich or to bring you a glass of water? No, maybe once, twice it might work, if you're lucky. But then afterwards it's not going to, because this is the time for her or him to rest. So even the closest person sometimes will tell you no, later. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's door of mercy is always open. Always open. And it is required of us that we turn to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask for the mercy of Allah. Thus, brothers and sisters, as we begin this new season of spring, many of us will be engaging in what is well known as spring cleaning, right? In many homes, in many families, during this time, all of the things that are old, all of the old things are taken out, they're sold in the garage sale, right? Or they're put away, you know, things are renewed, the house is cleaned from top to bottom, everything is made clean for the spring. This is a time also for spiritual spring cleaning, brothers and sisters. It's a time for us to evaluate, to ask ourselves, where are we? Where are we? Where are we spiritually? Where are we morally? Where are we religiously? And when we are able to clearly evaluate and see where we are, to work on fixing, to work towards this path of success. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring health, to cure those who are sick and those who are ill. Our dear beloved brother Hajj Mirafati, he is ill, he's not feeling well. He has asked us to pray for him tonight. We pray for his health, and we pray for the health of all of those who are sick, all of those who are ill. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to cleanse our hearts and to cleanse our souls and turn towards Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those who have passed away, many who were with us last year and are not with us this year. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our final Imam, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. For this time of spring is a renewal for everything, and we look forward to the spring of the Imam, when the Imam appears, reappears, and begins a new chapter in the history of this world. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ya muqallib al-qulubi wal-absar, يا مدبر الليل والنهار يا محول الحول والأحوال حول حالنا إلى أحسن حال وثبت قلوبنا على دينك وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلوات